Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello everyone and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Aaron.
Ah!
Gordy.
Hey.
Jason.
Hissing noise.
Now that we've set the tone for this episode.
Yeah. You guys missed the Halloween episode. It was a while ago.
No, we got infected by the mist.
Oh, shit.
Did you miss it?
You got all, like, purpley-eyed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. did you miss the part about the mist?
Just so you know, listeners, they're doing this for my benefit. They're doing this to cause me suffering personally.
I know you thought it was a myth. All this about the mist.
Well,
but I would be remiss.
That was worth it just for Gordy's reaction.
I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about the mist.
And that concludes episode 37 of Destructo Discourse.
That's all there is. Come back next week.
Did you miss me last week?
Like the deserts miss the rain.
Aaron, did you eat a weird apple?
I have a weird apple right here. What do you ask?
Why do you
I have
that?
A question. Do you feel good?
I feel good.
Do you feel good?
I feel good.
I'm glad.
As stated, this is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast, which means every week we watch episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z. Usually we watch 3 episodes. This week is no different. We'll be covering episodes 109, 110, and 111. We are squarely in the Garlic Jr. saga.
I missed this saga completely. Mm-hmm. I just always missed reruns, and, miss. But,
like I said before, I literally never even heard of, like, anything related to this saga.
I love it so far, because it's basically just a big, dumb DBZ summer vacation.
Yeah.
Yes. My attitude towards this saga has gone a 180 from
the first episode.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I
took like almost 2 pages of notes on these 3 episodes, and for some of the ones at the end of the Frieza saga, like the big like the episode where Goku goes Super Saiyan for the first time, I have maybe half a page.
There's so much
just
in these.
There's a lot to unpack.
A throwaway thing, but like
yeah,
it can
have
huge
juice.
Implications.
The apple juice.
These are juicy apples.
Mm-hmm. So in these episodes, this is the beginning of season 4, as Funimation designates it. Technically, we've already watched 1 episode, but we're gonna say this is us starting season 4. And in these episodes, Garlic Jr. unleashes on the world something called the Blackwater Mist.
Mm.
It purports to make people give in to their evil desires and act accordingly.
Unlocks the darkness hidden deep within their psyche.
My question for you guys is, if you were to create some kind of mist that would make people behave a certain way, what would your mist do? What is the Gordy mist?
So many things.
I think you've handed Gordy a terrifying amount of power here.
This is a real medicine cabinet.
Okay,
got a little bit of everything.
Number one, the mist is sanitary, and it does sanitize everything that it touches.
That's considerate.
Number two, if anybody who breathes in the mist goes into a Subway-like restaurant where there's a line, and they as one person order more than one sandwich, they will walk directly to jail and turn themselves in.
Specific, yet just.
My mist would enforce in draconian terms the zipper merge.
Oh, that's a good mist.
Yeah, and if
it's,
you don't,
it's a necessary mist.
Is this something? Is this something that you've thought about before, Gordy?
No,
that's
not in these specific terms.
Okay.
Not in terms of like a mist that makes people do these things. More like just sort of what legislation I would enact.
Yeah, is this... Yeah,
we're going
this
back yet again to the oft-promised Gordy's run for state senator.
State senate? I could run for president in a couple years.
I am very behind on what the folklore. I guess you upgraded in your ambitions.
Yeah, anybody can do it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Now, would your mist perchance make people crave TCG booster packs?
I think it would maybe be specific to the employees at Fantasy Flight Games, and it might just make them make a good fucking LCG again. it would certainly make people sort of all over the world just like really, really into card games.
This is a very specific mist.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of bioengineering. It's
it's a purpose-built product. It's focused. I respect that.
Yeah, there's a certain world order that I'm trying to achieve here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, that effect is similar to what my mist would be.
What does the Aaron mist do?
Uh-oh.
Well, my mist would be similar to the Blackwater mist in that what it purports to do would be pretty different from what it actually does. It would purport to unlock people's inner desires, but like in the good way, where you're like honest about what you want and like say what you're fucking thinking. But it would actually do
sure, yeah.
What it would actually do is make everybody play role-playing games with me.
Oh, well, big fan.
That's
like that.
That's doing them a favor also. So
I would say that the Jason mist unlocks the inner goofball of whoever reaches it, and you just get filled with a sensation anytime you part of your brain thinks of a dumb crummy joke, like a really big stinker of a pun, and the part of your brain some might associate with shame or dignity says, I shouldn't say that, that's not appropriate. That would erase that part of your brain.
I'm anticipating that there's going to be a very volatile chemical reaction between our two mists, Jay.
It would create a hurricane.
Yeah, the matter-antimatter reaction.
Tell me about the Dave mist.
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, like, my mist is, like, very, like, kind of low-key. It probably just makes everyone who breathes it in about 15% more of an insufferable English major in terms of what they like to read.
I love it.
It makes people that much more likely to accept, no man, but that's the point, as an explanation for something.
They breathe in that mist.
I can
mist.
Get behind this.
They breathe in that mist, and they suddenly aren't into movies so much as films.
Everyone who breathes my mist likes the final act of Homestuck a lot more.
My other mist, the real best mist, mm-hmm. was released in 1993 by Scion Worlds.
I see you've had a whiff or two of the Jason mist.
My mist would make everyone rate and review Destructive Discourse on iTunes and give it 4 stars.
4 stars, please.
Makes sense.
See, I had a similar thought, but my idea was that it would just play episodes of this podcast on repeat inside their skulls.
In their brains.
Whoa.
And there was no way to turn it off.
Well, you have already threatened to make it the only podcast that exists in the world that people could listen to. So
I'm working on it.
And there would be ads.
Wow.
How about we talk about some episodes of this hit anime?
If we have to.
I mean, I guess.
Typically, we're watching the Funimation dub. Some of us sometimes check in on the subs. Usually, we're using Funimation Now. And this week, we're going to kick off with episode 109, the English title being Black Fog of Terror.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Black Mist of Terror! ... !! And then it says, everyone turns demonic.
Oh.
All right.
Remember when Dragon Ball was demons?
Yeah, this
get ready for some fucking demons.
This is a weird one.
We're back from space, so it's magic again.
Welcome back to Goku's away. It's back to demons.
Goku's gone. Everyone post demons.
When Goku's away, the demons will play.
the aforementioned Blackwater Mist is now spreading across the world, and it's turning all the folks crazy.
Into big jerks, including this tiny Bulma toddler.
Finds the camera and hisses at it.
I just wrote down, "Hi, child, how's it going?"
I like how the narrator uses the same voice that he used to talk about, you know, Goku fighting to outrun Namek's obliteration, to talk about Gohan sneaking out to go to a party without his mom knowing. With exactly the same level of enthusiasm and gravitas.
Gohan entered the self-checkout with one more item than usual.
Yeah.
That's another thing my Mist would do. If there's a limit on items, it would enforce that limit.
On pain of death.
Yeah, it's just a brain hemorrhage if you...
I feel like that would slow things down even more.
The first couple of times, yeah, but...
Maybe at first.
Oh. Got it.
The sign's right there. It's right in front of you. What are you doing, taking 12 into a line of 10?
I want to put an aside here and let y'all know that when I was a young person, I got the Garlic Jr. action figure, which did exist, and as per...
You had a fair bit of Garlic Jr. merch, it sounds like.
Yeah. It had a prop that came with it that was actually the bottle.
The bottle of the Mist or the bottle of the Kami?
The bottle with Kami in it.
Mm. Oh,
there was no Kami in this bottle. It was an empty bottle.
You just had to use your imagination.
I did, yes.
On Kami's lookout, Garlic Jr. is checking in with his dear old dead dad.
Garlic Jr. is a good boy. He loves his dad.
Telling his dead dad about all the great stuff he's doing here on Earth.
He needs to be his own root vegetable. He grow up and be his own spice. He doesn't have to do what his dad tells him.
He mentions that he intends to bring Garlic Sr. back to life.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I don't know why that wasn't wish number one.
To my knowledge. I mean, like, does that matter? Like, this is the shit you pull when you're already immortal, which he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
He has his men out looking for Goku and Gohan. And Spice is using a fancy mirror to try and track Gohan
down.
Yeah,
he's a Palantir.
He's ready to start some scrying.
He turns to Popo and Kami and he calls them boobs. I liked that.
It's pretty funny.
Let's change the scene here to my favorite phrase in the world, in this universe or any other. The camera pans, we switch over to Chi-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Who refers to the Z Fighters as a pack of silly karate bums.
Perfect. I love her.
Yeah, there's not a single lie there.
She wonders if they'll ever realize that life is more than just intervals between kung fu matches.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. No,
it's
they won't.
Not.
No.
Yeah, because that's not accurate. Sorry, Chi-Chi.
Oh, that was so good.
Goku has no idea what to do with downtime.
Gohan and Icarus are on their way to the Kame house when they see a stampede of woodland creatures coming at them. And they see that there's this weird mist covering the whole landscape. So Icarus, quick on his feet, or wings, I guess, chucks Gohan into a cave and then blocks it up with his body.
Forms an instant airtight seal.
Corks it up with his big ass.
You got the idea from watching Winnie the Pooh.
So, I guess the mist goes away?
I guess?
It seems to pass, yes.
It dilutes, I guess?
It dissipates or something, because they come out and they're fine, having not breathed it as soon as it touched them.
Maybe it has a short half-life?
It must.
Yeah.
It can't sustain itself in one place for that long, it seems.
I mean, because otherwise it would just be a matter of time until, like, oh, the whole planet's infected beans.
Right.
We gotta have, like, some survivors. We gotta get some Night of the Comet shit going.
Like, it seems like it's almost a set surface area that just moves around.
Maybe it's like a wave, like a sound. The outer edge is
reverberating.
Yeah, the outer edge is what's dangerous, but once that passes you, you're good.
Interesting. I like that.
So they're walking around in the woods wondering what happened, and they are attacked by some of these nearby freaked out animals, and they flee to the sky to get away.
Logically.
Yeah.
Gordy, I think you mentioned Gohan has fought Frieza but he will not fight a chimp in the woods.
Right. I wrote down the note, these animals are nothing.
Maybe he's been working with a therapist who has expressed some concern about his habits of tormenting animals. He's trying to scale back on it a little bit.
That could be.
Well, these animals didn't insult his dad, so
yeah.
He has no reason
to
fight
them.
I mean, I can see, like, maybe he just doesn't want to. Because, like, given the choice between, like, hey, do you want to beat up a bunch of wolves or maybe just leave? I'd probably take leave most of the time.
Yeah, he has places to be.
But it, right.
Yeah,
but
he's got a party
does,
to get to.
Yeah.
But he looks scared of them. And he shouldn't, because, like, he was also cutting a dinosaur up for tail steak.
Yeah.
Like, a long time ago, and that is a more dangerous creature.
Maybe he's blocked that out.
Kami explains the backstory of Garlic Jr. and Sr. to Mr. Popo, and how they plan to destabilize this world and fill it with their dark servants using this mist. And we get to see those Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings sequences again from the Dead Zone movie.
What am I remembering correctly that in the last episode it was Mr. Popo who remembered the backstory for us?
They're just telling each other back and
just
forth,
making sure they've got the story straight.
Well, they have nothing else to do.
Yeah,
they don't have like a deck of cards or anything.
Popo has been spending. Well, even if they did, they couldn't. Like, they'd both have to have the deck in.
Exactly,
it's a real problem. I like that Popo has apparently been attempting to get out by like bashing his head into the sides of the bottle
unsuccessfully,
but this is like his 78th try or something like that. What I'm saying is that Mr. Popo is growing on me steadily. Also, Kami starts to go all like intelligent design on us here.
Yeah. Oof.
Talking about how Garlic Jr.'s species like doesn't understand their role in the great plan or whatever it is.
Yeah,
very weird, very fast.
The great plan includes villains and demos, I guess.
Kami also worships at the feet of King Kai, so take whatever word he says for take it with a grain of salt. We head over to Kame house. Everyone's enjoying their beach day. Roshi's checking out porn on the beach.
You know,
like you do.
It's an ordinary party.
Sure.
Just having fun with your friends.
Krillin, just when you think he's showing growth.
Krillin is fishing a bunch of asshole fish that are laughing at him.
The fish are actually laughing at him. We need to emphasize that that's not an exaggeration or or hyperbole.
I wrote, Krillin's kind of hunky in this scene. Is that weird?
He's trying to show off for Marin.
Yeah, he doesn't often have his shirt off, but he's buff down there.
He's a bit of a beefcake.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Marin, she has meticulously animated butt cheeks.
She does.
Those cheeks are on ones.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention.
They had a whole team of people.
It's like, it's 24 badonks per second.
You have to get a really good video card to do that, to pull that off.
You have to overclock it.
I did not notice this, and I'm going to choose to brag about that. Like, I'm going to take that as a good thing about myself.
They're just so many more points of articulation kind of, like, in and around her anus.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for that, Gordy.
Like, it is a very short sequence of her just running up to Krillin on the beach, doing like a fucking Baywatch run.
Yeah.
And no joke, I'm pretty sure there are more unique drawings of her butt than there are of Xenomorph Frieza in the whole fight.
I do believe that.
You're not even wrong is the thing.
Frieza didn't have a lot of badonks per second.
No.
Very few, really.
A staunch few.
His power level is insane, but his badonk level isn't much to sneeze at.
I mean, honestly, I'm living for this. I love this. I love Marin's summer look. I love everyone having their beach clothes.
There's a lot of good outfits in this whole bit.
My attitude towards Marin has gone a complete 180 from the last time, but like I still hate like in the medicine, mm-hmm. meta sense.
Yeah,
the way that mm-hmm. she's like framed and used in the anime, but I love her as a person.
Like with every other character on this show, we here at Destructive Discourse are going to take and read way more into how these characters were ever designed.
They keep breaking camera rules with her too.
Do they?
Oh,
yeah. Like the 180 camera rule.
Do they?
What does that mean?
What is that?
In filmmaking, you're never supposed to, when you're filming a character doing actions, you're never supposed to spin the camera 180 degrees around them because it's confusing about which direction they're moving in.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Right.
You like shouldn't jump the line of action specifically.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if she's running to the right, you shouldn't then flip the camera around so it looks like she's running to the left.
I see.
They wanted a shot of her ass running and also her boobs, so they'd spin around her entirely to get both.
I mean, for God's sake.
And she's moving in different directions.
We invented the spine-destroying pose exactly for this.
I'd rather...
For this situation, and they didn't even use it.
I'd rather have confusing camera movement than body horror. I'll be honest.
Not saying you're wrong, I'm saying I'm just a little surprised they didn't do that, too.
Agree to disagree.
I'm alarmed when I see like boob butt poses on like just covers and various splash panels. I don't know if I want to see it in motion.
Chi-Chi slams a goddamn jet into the beach.
Yeah,
my girl.
She almost
she gets so into stunt flying when she's mad.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She almost
I love her rage.
She almost runs over Roshi, which I feel like if she had run him over, she would have shed no tears.
Certainly not.
No.
Certainly, she thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe intended to, and Ox King stopped her. Did Ox King come along?
No, he's not here.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I'm much I'm thankful for.
I don't want to see a vampire daddy.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You.
Jason, I've played Monster High School with you.
Don't at me like this.
I would like you to define in specific terms what you mean when you say daddy.
Chi-Chi would like to know where Gohan is. And immediately gets in an argument with Marin, who continually calls her a grandma, which prompts Chi-Chi to use Kaioken.
Yes! Oh
yeah,
my god.
That happens.
She just invents it.
She didn't have to train on King Kai. She didn't have to have extra gravity. She just did it.
Doesn't give a
shit.
Ain't
filler just the craziest?
We know where Gohan gets his rage from.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got the fuck him up Gohan moments from Chi-Chi.
We thought it was the Saiyan pride, but no. This is pure earth energy.
It's pure mom energy.
pure earth-o-mom rage.
Like, power level is one thing, but mom level is another thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Truth. This is true.
Roshi tries to defend Marin and cops a feel because he is the worst.
He really is.
Welcome. Yep.
And Krillin drags Marin out for a dip in the ocean.
Because he doesn't want her to get caught in the crossfire of what he knows is about to happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He needs to de-escalate the situation. And it is conveniently timed for when the Blackwater mist reaches the island.
Thank goodness.
They both go underwater, so they don't breathe it in.
I am so glad for this.
Yes.
Because I thought 100% with like the way the Blackwater mist was described, that like unleashing your inner desires would be like just making Marin do whatever. But I'm so glad that she just gets to be her beautiful self.
Yeah.
Chi-Chi's mouth is wide open. And the mist hits her.
She takes
ready.
A gulpful.
She gets a full serving.
More than the FDA recommended portion per meal of
She's
Blackwater
got a
mist.
Lot of pent up anger.
Yeah.
Gohan meets up with them in the middle of the ocean, and he hears that his mom beat him to the island, so he wants them to come along for backup when he goes to confront her. And when they get to the beach, they see Chi Chi, but she's got a weird look in her eyes.
Yeah.
A weird pink look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got pink eye, literally.
She immediately attacks Gohan.
And like capital A attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something I really like about Marin.
Yes.
Because she was getting into an argument with Chi-Chi, calling her old lady, which, I mean, cheap shot.
Yeah.
But She just you know, was in this big altercation where Chi-Chi was super mad. Where's Gohan? He's in big trouble. And then the next moment, like, she runs into Chi-Chi and Gohan. Chi-Chi just full-on, like, full-on 5Ms, normal special Gohan in the face. And Marin's immediate thought is, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Hey, don't hit your kid.
Yeah, Marin is kind of a ridiculous idiot with debatable priorities at times, but she draws the line at child abuse. And I respect that.
This is good to know.
This is where I started falling in love with Marin. And this is where, like, my theory on why I love Marin so much, sort of, this is the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she's kind of a reminder that no matter how much space bullshit we get into, this is still Dragon World, and it can get into all kinds of bullshit all by itself.
Right.
Like, she's just a random person that, I don't know, Krillin met at a bar. And she's this...
They don't let Krillin in bars.
I was about to say, Krillin must have a very difficult time obtaining alcohol.
Oh, bud.
They met at the BMV.
I did forget to mention, and I can't believe that I did, but when they go into the ocean together, Krillin and Marin, before they go underwater, Krillin is explaining who Chi-Chi is to Marin and how she's the strongest woman on the planet and married to my friend from space. Like, and Marin says, you've mentioned him before. Who is he? Oh, you know, the guy from space.
This is also why I love Marin, because again...
Takes it in stride.
Probably not the weirdest thing.
She does do a good job adjusting.
Yes.
Well, how much of that is Richard Mayhew's superpower ability to adjust, and how much of it is just, like, not really getting what's going on?
Hard to say.
Column A, column B.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I would argue the exact same combination that Goku has.
You know, you're not wrong. She's
a shonen protagonist.
You compared him to Goku secret. Early. You compared her to Goku earlier off air, and I am understanding why.
Krillin and Marin get jumped by the rest of the Kame crew. Marin is breaking a chair over Roshi's head.
Good.
While Krillin keeps Yamcha and Bulma at bay.
Evil Roshi looks very disturbing.
Evil Roshi looks the same.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I mean.
So yeah, exactly.
He didn't need much help.
Right.
His evil desires didn't need much help.
Right. Not a lot of coke.
So can we talk about this now? About himself. Evil desires?
Yes, go for it.
I was super excited for this.
Conceptually?
Yeah, because I thought, ooh, we're going to get to see the worst character traits of all of the characters magnified. And with Roshi...
Turns out they all have the same one.
Well, yeah, with Roshi, I thought they were actually going for it. Because, like, all right, he gets even more lecherous and, like... Even Dragon Ball can't play it for laughs anymore. That's kind of compelling. And then it's like, but no, apparently everyone in the world has the same, you know, most significant character flaw, which is that they cackle a lot and bow down to Garlic Jr.
And they want to bite.
Yes, there's that also.
Everyone wants to bite on the planet.
Everybody.
Here's my question.
What's your question?
You get Blackwater Misted, and you get turned into just, like, a mindless demon vampire who can still do martial arts.
Sometimes.
Like, that's fine. Their targets were, during the sequence, were Krillin and Gohan and all that, and the non-converted humans, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, in whole cities where swaths of these people were possessed by Blackwater Mist... and all got turned into subservient Garlic Jr. demon vampire martial artists. Do they fight each other while possessed? Do they recognize each other? Do they just chill out?
I think we do get to see that eventually, if I'm remembering right.
I mean, it seems like they would just chill out if there's nobody unconverted nearby.
Right.
Maybe they start roaming looking for people to convert. Like
it's like walkers, right? They don't really care about each other.
Because... as we find out shortly, this just the Blackwater Mist straight up just turns you into a zombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what this whole arc is just DBZ zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, which I was not expecting, I must say.
Dragon Ball Zombies.
The Z is for zombies.
That's what That's what it stands for.
Oh my god.
I like it.
While everyone is fighting at the Kame house, the Spice Boys arrive to break up the party.
They sure do.
The Spice Boys.
And
you'd think when the Spice Boys come, they would bring the party. But no.
For some reason, they decide to tell everyone about this really cool water on Kami's lookout that's going to heal everyone.
It's the plot cure water.
Yeah, thanks for the secret.
I don't know why they bring it up.
Now, welcome to film class, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about MacGuffin.
They got really jealous of Kami and Piccolo, not Piccolo, Kami and Mr. Popo just exchanging exposition with each other.
We want to do some exposition.
We could do it too.
I want to share some facts about this world and its intricate topology with you. We got good water.
I'm very glad you brought that voice back, Aaron.
We got good water. Your turn.
Yummy, yummy.
This is Carl Jr.'s new tourism bureau for Earth. It's his first act as guardian to establish the tourism board.
There's a whole galaxy out there. We could be making so much money off of tourism.
Especially now that there's a power vacuum.
Right.
The Spice Boys catch Gohan in some kind of key binding. They just keep him levitated in the air like Goldo. But he is saved by his good friend Piccolo.
Yeah!
Yeah!
And the end of this episode is the Spice Boys and the brainwashed Z crew surrounding Piccolo. Any other thoughts for 109?
I like that the narrator takes us out of this by saying that Piccolo is preparing to fight a posse of darkness.
That's good.
It's a very good phrase.
The narrator's having a lot of fun in these episodes in general.
I wrote down a question as to whether Piccolo needs to breathe air. Is that relevant in this episode? Or is that the next one?
I don't remember. It did come up. I do remember you mentioning it.
Huh.
I think when the mist comes over, I wonder, like, does Piccolo actually need to breathe air? Because he is a plant boy.
Well, plants need oxygen.
He did.
So
plants
he
did. No, they need carbon dioxide.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
He did skip the mist somehow.
I do wonder how he did
somehow.
That.
Somehow.
I mean, it seems like he might have just been flying really high.
Yeah, either that or he clothes beamed himself a gas mask.
Oh, man. Now you're thinking with portals.
Now you're thinking with clothes beam.
Episode 110, the English title is Battle on Kami's Lookout.
The Japanese title roughly translates to The Heavenly Realm is the Battlefield. Piccolo becomes devilish again.
Oh, no.
So the beginning of this episode is the Spice Boys trying to entreat Piccolo to do just that. They want him to join the bad guys again. Come be bad, Piccolo. It's great. You loved it once.
These episodes are all about your weird demonic identity that hasn't been relevant in several sagas.
Yeah,
get in on it.
Be the king of demons.
However, Piccolo is not interested in serving someone who got caught in his own trap.
Yeah, it really seems like he doesn't necessarily have any moral objection to this. He just thinks that they're too lame and doesn't want to be associated with them.
He also gets into some weird lore with some weird star systems.
Yes.
Yeah, he wonders how Garlic Jr. got out, and I imagine a lot of us shared that question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was due to something called the Makio Star.
Okay.
Makio Star.
The light of which caused evil powers around the universe to just get juiced up.
They're getting into this whole dualistic cosmology all of a sudden.
So, on the wiki, it says it is. So in one place it says it's the source of power for all of these guys, and on another page it says it's their birthplace.
It is actually a planet. It's that thing that they do in anime where they conflate stars and planets.
Yeah.
I was about to go, as you said that, I was about to go to and put the Makio star into dbmoves.wikia as a joke. And then I realized there was a non-zero chance that that might actually spoil something. So I decided not to.
Fun fact, apparently the Garlic Jr., the Spice Boys, all them, they refer to their race of people as called the Makians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How fun. And I like the idea that this is a planet, it literally translates to demon planet. Because it is just a planet of Dragon Ball demons.
All right.
Yeah.
And the upgrade of power that he got was enough to let him pop the dead zone open, apparently.
Okay.
10 years later.
Piccolo yanks off his weighted cape and he throws it at Vinegar, who calls him a louse.
That seems like a weirdly kind of highbrow insult for these guys.
Call someone a louse.
Yeah, I don't think that's a common phrase. I wonder if that was like a really weird, like his mouth was making some extremely specific shape and they had to find a very specific English phoneme to slot into that spot in the script so that it could fit with the animation, and that was what somebody came up with.
Maybe he's just been doing some reading while his boss was, you know, in the dead zone, in another dimension.
Trying to become a better minion.
Speaking of awful mouth shapes, there is a scene where Spice laughs with his teeth. Like, they open and close multiple times in the same
he's
shot.
Just, like, chatter teeth.
He's just like, hey. it's absolutely abysmal.
I need to propose a concept, yes, about the Spice Boys. The Spice Boys, it seems pretty clear to me, are angling to become the new Ginyu Force. Now, Spice clearly
that's what
they're
on audition for.
Yes, exactly. And Spice clearly is angling to become the new Jace. Vinegar and Mustard, the two, you know, big beefy guys, they want to be the new Raccoon and Birder. But they lack...
You know all their names and who they are, even.
I wrote them down because there's no other way I'd be able to remember this. But they lack the heart and the true enthusiasm. And then...
Well, they lack the poses.
No style. Mm-hmm.
And the poses.
No, there's no poses anywhere. And then just Salt, everything. Of course, wants to be the new Goldo. Which...
Of course.
I mean, that's not a high bar. He might be a better...
It's not a high bar.
He might be a better Goldo than Goldo. Is the reality. He's already ahead in the voice department, I think.
I love how
for sure. I love that guy's voice.
Yeah.
He just talks like this for some reason. Mm-hmm.
He talks like Dr. Teeth.
A little bit.
Alpha, I watch these guys play in a band, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Dig it, man.
Baby.
When do we want to talk about the Spice Boys character designs?
Whenever you want.
You mean Ginyu in a hat? Because I want to talk about Ginyu in a hat.
My note, and Tyler and I talked about this while we were watching it, it's just they, like, if I saw each of these four, was it four of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, each of these four characters individually, I could tell you, that looks like a Dragon Ball character. I would not know that they're associated with each other.
Hmm.
The Ginyu Force were diverse, but they had uniforms.
Yeah, the Ginyu Force clearly belongs together.
Yeah, and they have a color combo thing going on.
They kind of have uniforms in this.
Do they?
It's like smoothed out Saiyan armor in a way.
Yeah, they got Saiyan boots from somewhere, or Frieza Force boots.
I mean, you can probably buy that gear on the black market, or from like an army surplus store in space or something.
Frieza surplus store.
Yeah, the Frieza surplus store. And fan fiction premise number.
You're going to have to put this in a big raffle.
The Spice Boys are the Ubisoft of Dragon Ball teams. They come from a vast array of cultures and creeds.
And they keep producing
annualized series.
They keep
subpar products.
But they also support their games for a long time after they come out. We could
Piccolo starts.
This metaphor was about to get weird. Tyler, please take us away.
Piccolo starts fighting against the Spice Boys, and he's doing all right. But then they have Yamcha as backup, so he's basically doomed.
I feel so bad. Wow. I feel so bad for Yamcha. He got a good shot on Piccolo, and he probably
and
won't even remember it.
Yeah,
poor guy.
Krillin is getting his ass beat by Roshi somehow, so Marin has to be saved by Icarus.
Yeah, this whole sequence is not a noble look for Krillin.
New.
And I was wondering which of Roshi's instincts the mist would awaken. Because, like, he's got the two. He's got fight and he's got pervert.
Yeah.
In the same way that Goku has fight and eat.
Yeah. I like how he's. We've got that fun, like, flying kick that always shows up in the Toonami intro.
Yep.
And I always think that he's having such a fun time in the original intro. Like, yeah, he's partying on the beach.
Woo!
Nope, he's actually about to beat some ass.
Yeah. Beat the ass of someone who I think, you know, respected him, at least to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, he's his old teacher.
Yeah.
Piccolo tells Krillin and Gohan to get the sacred water on Kami's lookout. He'll hold everyone off down here, but they'll have to be careful because Garlic Jr.'s probably waiting for them.
Gohan doesn't want to leave, but you know, Krillin comes in and he backs up his old war buddy's judgment.
Yeah.
As they take off, Piccolo is jumped by Yamcha and some of the Sandy Spice Boys.
Okay, hang on, we have to...
We're just down there.
When did they get in there?
We have to stop and consider this fucking bullshit for a moment.
They're land sharks.
First of all, what prefaces it is that Piccolo gets beat on for a while, and then he says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to exterminate you all.
Piccolo's not sorry, though. He wants this.
Well, he's sorry.
Can we reframe how fucking metal that got when he's just about to waste some civilians?
Well, let's be fair. He's sorry only in the sense that it would probably make Gohan sad.
Right. Civilians that include Puar and Oolong.
Well,
you know, if they get caught in the crossfire, then so be it, I guess.
These are desperate times.
Nice, sweet Puar.
Sweet Puar with the worst voice of any character.
Love
sweet
her.
Puar acting like a head crab.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm suspect of Puar.
She'll fuck you up.
So
Dave,
did you
have
her with that headband when they were trying to go to space?
What, Tyler?
She was ready.
Did you have something that you wanted to suggest about this sand trap?
Well, yes, I have. Did they go like underwater and then dig a hole under the island from the side? How did they get down there? How long were they waiting down there? What the fuck is happening?
It's the old Spice Boy in the ground trick.
What fucking jutsu is this? What fucking Gaara ass horse shit?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not over this. I'm not letting this go.
As you should. There's no way they just popped under the ground. There's no maybe Spice Boy shaped divot in the dirt.
He was actively fighting them.
He was maybe there a second ago.
Is this just what they can do instead of making a dead zone?
Is that their fucking semblance?
Everybody's gifts are different.
Reverse
you are definitely right about that, though, Aaron. Vegeta would not have been surprised by this.
No.
This one's
You've
right
seen
there
this
in the
a
book.
Thousand times.
Yep.
Mustard used dig. It was super effective.
Yeah.
Yamcha sinks his wolf fang fangs into Piccolo's neck.
You had that ready.
Oh yeah.
When this happened, I went and wrote down, oh no, he got bit by a Yamcha, now he's going to turn into a Yamcha. And
this is where all those Yamchas came from.
Yeah, exactly. This is how the Yamcha continuum reproduces. Then I went back and erased that note after I realized that was only sort
no,
of
No, hold on. There's merit to that. They come from corrupted Namekian eggs.
Let's save that for Hail Satan.
I'm gonna introduce this concept to y'all right now.
Uh-huh.
Yampire.
Yampire.
Which is spelled with a YH, like Dampier.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright. I have two things to write down in the fanfic idea list.
Everyone pounces on Piccolo and joins in on the biting. Gohan doesn't want to leave, but he eventually relents.
I want to give a shout out to Krillin, who managed to change from Speedo to casual suitwear.
Yeah.
Mid-fight.
Fine.
Presumably at the same...
Our boy has priorities.
Presumably at the same time warp, but they were digging their hole.
Yeah, Roshi punches him through... I want to assume it's like a Looney Tunes thing where he... Because Roshi punched him through the house... So I want to say he, like, punched him through a wardrobe.
Through the closet.
Yeah. Like, punched, like, a series of closets. So, like, one, he comes out with, like, a fun Viking outfit. And then two, comes out with, like, a clown getup. And then the third one, he just comes out with business casual.
This is a good look for beating ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks cute. He looks cute in biz cash.
As they fly to Kami's lookout, Marin catches up with them on Icarus, and she threatens to end the relationship with Krillin if he doesn't let her come along with them.
World's ending? Fuck it, let's go.
Let's teach her the Kaioken.
That's a can-do attitude.
I'm gonna be in this adventure, and you're gonna deal with it. I made friends with a dragon. What did you do today?
Got punched through three wardrobes by an old man.
On a distant planet somewhere, Vegeta is having an adventure.
Meanwhile, on the Vegeta lit. Show.
It's planet lit.
He's just doing his own thing out there.
Vegeta is massacring some bird guys.
Yeah.
They worked for Frieza.
I love this.
Still think Frieza's ticking and calling the shots when that ain't the case.
He lets them know that Frieza's been killed, but he calls Kakarot by the wrong name again.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
He's going native.
He says Frieza was killed by a Super Saiyan named Goku. That's not his name.
That's how you know this is non-canonical filler.
God, yeah, honestly.
So they mess up this basic shit.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're going to draw him without his gloves.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I will slam the laptop closed and punch it across the room.
Through several sets of wardrobes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. The laptop comes out wearing business casual.
The thing I like about this little scene, even though it is non-canonical filler, and he calls Goku by the wrong name, it's like... It is still reminding us, hey, yeah, Vegeta, still a shit.
Yep.
But it's also like, it's not like he's trying not to be, but like, he's thought about not being a shit a little bit.
The possibility has occurred to him for the first time in his life.
I didn't write down exactly what he said. He was trying to interrogate one of the lit people. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
It's planet lit. I really love that the planet is called lit.
Planet lit and planet meat.
I know. There's some good planets.
Yeah.
It makes me think that space takes seriously our star naming conventions on this planet. Like, they got the word that you guys are called planet lit now. And they're like, all right, we're planet lit, I guess. The Earthlings have spoken.
But he like almost apologizes, if I remember right. Like, oh, why are you being so awful? Now I have to kill you.
Well, what he says specifically is that he didn't start this, so that it seems that they fired first.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, that's. I'm going to call that character development, to be perfectly frank.
That's movement of some kind on the meter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Paragon points.
Yeah, he's really not very good at this whole information gathering thing, though.
No.
Gohan and company reach Korin's tower, and it's eerily quiet. They're very spooked.
As they come into the top of the tower, I considered the idea that they were too late somehow, and considered the idea of vampire bean cat, and I was afeared. I experienced a true nightmare just considering that.
I'd be afeared of a vampire bean cat.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen to Korin. He's my man. Or at least he was, until it turns out that now Chris Sabat is doing his voice, too.
It turns out Korin is fine, and so is Yajirobe. I guess they were too high for the mist to reach them.
It seemed like it was pretty heavy.
And you can pick whatever definition of that word you want for this.
Any of them work.
Their lungs were filled with a stronger.
They were too blitzed.
Yes.
I mean, they do definitely do that up there.
I mean, what else do they have to do all day?
It's just the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
And Korin, they have, like, residual bean stalks. Gonna smoke those.
If you were gonna try to buy weed from anybody in this world, it would be Yajirobe. Like, if I had to take a guess at, like, who's got the best shot of having weed on them, it would be him.
Well, on hand.
Well, yeah, and it's a good combination, I think, because Yajirobe is definitely, like, the guy you can go find at a party and score some. Korin is the guy who, like, when they legalize it in your state, Korin is there on day one opening up the distillery.
Korin is... Like, this is a Breaking Bad Walter White and Jesse Pinkman situation. Korin is the mastermind behind it. Yajirobe is, like, the streetwise one.
Three fanfic pitches in one episode!
Krillin and Gohan ditch Marin with the cat and the samurai. They leave her behind at the tower.
Almost sounds like the beginning of a joke.
After, they leave her behind after we see that Korin apparently also trained in 100 times Earth gravity to develop his psionic brain muscles, because he can just read their minds too.
Yeah. I guess everyone's got that power.
Is that a power that he had in Dragon Ball?
I would have to go back and check. When the two of them reach Kami's lookout, Garlic Jr. is waiting for them.
Yeah.
And so is an evil-looking Piccolo.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He got there while they were doing a pit stop at the cat house.
Wow.
Don't call the cat house.
I mean, that's what they're trying to turn it into.
What do you want me to call it?
Wait, what's a cat house? Is that a thing?
I thought a cat house was another name for a house of ill repute.
Yeah, isn't it a brothel?
Are you insinuating that Marin?
No, we're insinuating about Korin and Yajirobe.
About Marin. Yeah, I'm insinuating about what Korin and Yajirobe might want to do.
Yeah. Oh. I think that's completely independent of...
Put it past
of
them.
Marin. Yeah, you know what's up.
Any other thoughts for 110?
I mean, Korin's really more into it for, like, the scritches.
That's
and,
true.
Like, I get
He's
it.
He's a simple cat with simple needs.
He is quickly charmed by Marin.
Yajirobe is trying to steal Krillin's girl.
Yajirobe thinks that Krillin is an uggo, and he has no business being with such a hot chick.
Yo, what?
Because Yajirobe is just a perfect physical specimen.
I was very pleased as a connoisseur of ironically bad internet bullshit that... somebody, who is it, actually? Oh, yeah, it's Vinegar. It's one of our big beefy spice boys. Is voiced by somebody named John Freeman, which made me think about, you know, telling zombie ghosts to go home. And
is he I was about to say, is he a certain brother of a Gordon Freeman? Or
mm-hmm. He's, okay. He needs to look over here and fight for the future of all humans.
Full life consequences.
That I made a note at the end of this episode thinking that the next episode is going to be an entire 20 minutes of Gohan going, it's me, Piccolo, it's Gohan, you've got to fight it. And I was delightfully surprised.
Episode 111, the English title is Fight with Piccolo, or An Event That Does Not Occur.
Now it must be said that before this recording earlier today, I made fun of, or at some point this week, I made fun of the name of this episode because I was like, what could that possibly be about? And it was not what I expected it to be about. I have to give it to him.
They gotcha.
Go on, fight your dad.
Also, the narrator has so much fun saying the phrase "Spice Boys" in this intro.
Yeah. How could
like
you not
Spice Boys? In Japan, this episode roughly translates to direct confrontation with Piccolo, an angry Masenko in the heavenly realm.
I really like the beginning of this episode because Garlic Jr. is playing dumb like he forgot Gohan's name. It's like, oh, you, who are you again?
Oh, that's right. I was going to call you Furikake.
Garlic Jr. wants Gohan to tell him where Goku has gone off to. And Gohan says no and throws a punch at him.
Gohan is very principled about this. Like, he absolutely refuses to even, like, say that he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny.
I really appreciate Garlic Jr.'s method here, because he's basically saying, I already won. I'm immortal, and the entire Earth is under my control. I'm just out here for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are back. Lost.
As far as villain monologues go, it's a good one. That's a good time to monologue.
Yeah. Garlic Jr. sidesteps the punch, but he does get a cut on the cheek from it.
It's from the very sharp punch.
Yes. Starts having flashbacks to that time Gohan fucked him up before, and he says that Gohan can nullify his power?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's some absolute bull.
Maybe that's just how he rationalized it to himself.
Rationalize that so he doesn't have to admit that he got beat by a 5-year-old?
Yeah, he must...
A drunk 5-year-old.
He must have some unique quality that functions like kryptonite to me. That's the only explanation. Now that I think about it, that's actually a very Vegeta move. to say or think something like that.
He's nullified my power.
There must be some external factor.
Yeah, my controller buttons were sticking.
No memories.
Gohan readies a Masenko for him, but Garlic Jr. uses the bottle of Kami as a shield.
As a Namekian shield.
Which, I mean, can be easily negotiated around, I feel.
Yeah.
That's not that much of a trick shot.
No, you just curve it. Salt, the little one, kicks Gohan aside, and Mustard, the biggest one with the horns, does the same to Krillin.
Can we talk about, like, what kind of statement Salt is trying to make with his Uyghur Mongolian step-dweller hat?
That is a say-something hat.
Yeah, what is he saying? What's the something?
I don't know what the message is.
What it says is, we're the only sentient people on Earth, so it doesn't matter what I wear.
All right, fair enough.
Mom let me dress myself today.
I like...
Also, I have a sister, apparently.
Yeah.
Wait, he has
we'll get
sister.
To that.
Oh,
yeah, he says
shit,
my sister
what?
Can beat you up.
Oh.
I would like to know where everybody shops on this show.
Z-Crew.
Listen, yeah, not
Jesus Christ.
Not everybody has a Bulma to design their clothes for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, that hat, as well as his yellow, like, cape bandana thing, is largely why I always thought that he was Mustard. Because I thought his head just looked like the top of a mustard bottle.
It does!
Right.
You're paying more attention.
And I will forever be saddened by the fact that his name is not Mustard.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And
really
they gave it to the weird
either.
Cow man instead.
He does not look like a salty boy to me.
Garlic Jr. takes a seat on his throne and just enjoys the show while the Spice Boys beat the hell out of Gohan and Krillin.
Let's talk about this throne real quick.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Was that just ready to go and he just hits a button and it just shoots out of the ground through Kami's lookout?
Well, that's what he's been working on this whole time while they've been looking for Gohan.
Yeah, okay.
Some special effects.
He's been building the chair.
I mean, the lookout conforms to the will of
the I was
going to
say, Garlic
like
Sr. probably secretly installed that chair into the lookout, assuming he was going to take the next job as Kami. And then when it didn't happen, it just remained dormant.
As previously mentioned, Salt apparently has a sister who can take a punch better than Gohan can. Just sort of offhandedly throws that out there.
Is she Pepper? Can
One
she
would
be
assume.
Pepper?
She has to be. Like, come on.
He gets ready to blast Gohan, but Krillin takes the hit instead.
He does a Piccolo.
And then takes a bunch of hits. And we cut to Marin.
Yeah.
Who is doing aerobics on Korin's tower.
This is where I think she's very much like Goku. She is training, and she has these guys making her food.
What's rule number one of the zombie apocalypse? That's right, cardio.
Mm-hmm. Can't fight zombies on an empty stomach.
No.
Korin and Yajirobe really like how her boobs do when she jumps.
Yajirobe, okay, but Korin, you are a cat.
Yeah, you know, that part's always kind of weirded me out. Then again, like, every... See, that's the thing about having a character that's just literally a heat sink for all cheesecake in the universe to converge. It's just they find a way for, like, any shot to just include, like, anime titty in the corner, off to the side, as a foreground element.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And every time it's just like, okay. This is very different from Bulma running around in her underoos on a space station where it was treated very Ripley and kind of matter-of-fact. This is more like the camera's looking.
I will say, like, it's obviously, you know, there are some exceptions and Roshi exists, but, like, I was really enjoying the fact that that was something that we didn't really have to deal with in Dragon Ball Z for the most part. And... It makes sense that this is not, you know, this is all Funimation, right? Who did this?
Toei.
Okay.
Oh, Toei.
Like Toriyama did not. How involved was he with this part, with this saga?
Probably not very. But don't let that fool you. Like he did write Dragon Ball, and it is a lot of this.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
but it seems like Dragon Ball Z was kind of not really interested in that too much anymore.
Yeah, not as interested.
And I was enjoying that.
But
until the camera...
But those were the humble beginnings.
Yeah.
The cameraman make us Roshi, basically.
Well, I suppose this entire saga is kind of about, you know, going back to Dragon Ball style stuff.
Back to the basics.
Mm-hmm. So, and pervert jokes, with everything demons.
That, yeah, with everything that that entails, unfortunately.
Marin uses that bodacious bod to sway Korin and Yajirobe to cook for her. So she really is Goku.
Yep.
And Korin's got to walk the walk, he says, while cooking in a wok.
I get it.
Oh god, is that what they were doing?
That's what they're doing.
I'm very upset.
Let's take a moment to appreciate the dish Korin is making for Marin.
Uh-huh.
Which I wrote down as coconut cream shrimp casserole. And here's the thing.
Thank you.
The first three words of that dish sound pretty great. Maybe if you ended that with curry or stir fry, I'd be so down. Coconut cream, okay, good. That's a great dish for various fried ingredients. Shrimp,
good flavor,
love it.
Profile.
Great protein. Casserole.
A lot of umami.
Casserole? It goes casserole. from delicious Thai coconut curry to like Midwestern potluck staple.
It's a fusion.
Where does Korin import his shrimp from?
I was about to say, I'm quite sure that he and Yajirobe survive on takeout, just like King Kai and Bubbles.
Who delivers?
It's Lil Oni's to that look.
Korin tips very well.
Mm-hmm. They know. So, be fun if in Dragon Ball, Goku has to climb this tower.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd really love it if you just saw, like, delivery people. Like, outpacing him on the climb.
Some of them falling off and just disappearing down below.
Dave, you say that he tips well, but I was going to say his tip is like, congrats, you're a martial arts master now. You climbed the tower.
Mm-hmm. I like
teach
either
you the
that,
after image technique.
Either that, or they order out from the little cafe in Otherworld, and Mr. Popo just has like a basket that he lowers down from Kami's lookout.
Like a basket on a fishing pole.
Yeah.
like Yogi in a picnic basket.
It's just one of the things he does along with the gardening and whatever else.
I was
going to
theorize that the tower itself actually was a massive well.
I like that.
You can dread, yeah, that the tower itself is not a solid column of stone, but is in fact hollow and filled with water and thus various sea creatures.
It just shunts shrimp up into the sky.
Yeah, they're very...
like a geyser of shrimp.
Shrimp delivery mechanism.
Oh, no.
Korin is a cat.
The smells around that tower.
It would not be good smells.
Pungent.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm waiting for some kind of reveal that Marin is actually like a secret mastermind and is incredibly intelligent and has just been like, you know, grifting everybody this whole time because she knows she can get people to do what she wants.
Is that what's happening?
I can't tell is the thing.
I mean, she's definitely doing that to Krillin a little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, for sure.
At least a little bit.
Yeah.
She's definitely doing that to Yajirobe and Korin of the bit.
Oh, yeah.
The whole bit.
I got ditched on this tower. I'm gonna make the best of it.
She's taken, you know what? She's taken lemons and making coconut cream shrimp lemonade.
Do people lemonade still casserole. Make casseroles even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Ohioans chiming in. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We cut back to Krillin, who is still getting blasted to death. He falls to the ground, and Gohan tries to wake him up by slapping him repeatedly on the butt.
It's the best way.
That's how Gohan does CPR.
Goku tried to teach him CPR.
Goku doesn't know how it works either.
So. I know.
Just shake them until the air comes out.
He doesn't have any leaves to rub on it like his dad showed him that one time.
I forgot about that. Oh.
Meanwhile, Demon Piccolo is being held back by Spice and just really really earning that paycheck with Chris Sabat doing every scream growl in the book.
All the snarls he's gotten in him.
Yeah.
It's Oscar worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Krillin beseeches Gohan to save the day because he's the only one who hasn't breathed in the mist yet, and then promptly passes out.
I wasn't super sure where he was going with that. Like, what? Krillin hasn't breathed in either.
Yeah.
Well, where he was going with that is, I'm going to pass out now. Yeah. It's up to you.
What fake drama is happening here? Like, I've seen you explode. You're not dead. I watched that with my eyes.
I see that in my dreams, Krillin.
Yeah.
Well, this is just another one of those situations where Krillin takes an attack and decides he's done, so he plays dead.
He's put up with enough bullshit in his life.
He realizes the mistake he made in leaving Marin around Korin and Yajirobe. Like, aw, she's not gonna want to get back with me after this.
Oh, that went
not
a
like she's
that,
gonna leave me.
That
for
went
them.
A different place than I was
pissed.
Expecting.
Vegeta is still out in space on his quest to be a Super Saiyan.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying out that lift rocks up exercise that everyone does. He's heard about.
It's all the rage.
He's on some distant moon somewhere, and he starts hallucinating that Goku is throwing rocks at him from another moon.
Yeah, is that what happens?
Which
here?
Is fantastic.
There's not a lot of air on that moon.
You know, that's true.
It's yeah.
Some
also,
space madness.
I also
hypoxia.
Had to ask if Vegeta has to breathe air.
Hey, yes. Remember when there was a big to do about how Saiyans need air?
Yeah.
And then if it blows up, there won't be any air.
Yeah.
Vegeta appears to be doing great.
great, maybe not.
Yeah, but
he is hallucinating.
Yeah, he's like the planet is exploding and hurling rocks at me, so it must be Kakarot.
Well, he does see, like, a golden glow down there, too.
Right! I was wondering what actually became of that, because I'm like, they wouldn't put in an actual mirage, would they?
I think they did.
I mean, sometimes there's shiny things on planets.
Because he doesn't really find anything, does he?
He doesn't.
No, he finds crater, sort of, and then acts like it's a profound revelation.
Yeah, he has, like, a weird hole epiphany.
Yeah,
At bare minimum, that goes in the caption underneath the show episode, underneath the episode. We experience a weird hole epiphany on this episode.
Because he just gets at this critter and it's like, I've been blinded this whole time.
My own ambition.
He can see clearly now the rain is gone or something.
Yeah, this hole tells him the clue he's needed to the secret of being Super Saiyan. And he's very pleased with himself. Gohan is entering fuck 'em up mode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and Mustard team up to make a big old beam together. They try the purple spiral splash attack or whatever.
See, they're trying to become the new...
Not the combo I would have expected. Salt and vinegar? Maybe. Mustard and vinegar? Maybe. Salt and mustard?
Yeah.
Salt... Artisanal salty mustard.
Hot dogs are salty.
Ooh, seems bad.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put salt and mustard on fries. I'd put spice on fries.
I'm not a lunatic, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, where's the Machian whose name is just Ranch?
Oh no.
Ranch, zesty BBQ sauce.
Thousand Island.
Smoky Sriracha.
Rich vein.
Chili lime.
Gohan gets a dust clearing.
Wait, would cilantro be a Saiyan or a Machian?
Oh, wow.
It's a
well,
half
garlic
and half.
Is a Machian, even though garlic is a vegetable.
Hmm.
Maybe he's from two cultures.
I could buy that.
You guys.
Yeah?
I think Aaron just figured
remember
out...
Remember the tuffles?
Did you have a... Some sort of hole.
I was about to ask that exact question, Tyler.
I had a tuffle epiphany. You remember the tuffles?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
You remember how the Saiyans wiped them all out?
Mm-hmm.
What if?
You remember how the tuffles were the ones with all the technology?
I do.
What if the tuffles just left and they became the Machians?
Hmm.
They became demons?
Yes, without the evil Saiyans to compare themselves against to keep themselves from being evil.
They went to a new planet and decided to be demons.
No, the place where they resettled was exposed to the hellish light of the Machio star. Yes.
Oh yeah, because at the very beginning there were like some civilians dressed in weird Dragon Quest future clothes that got wasted by the Machians. So maybe that's where some of the Tuffles went.
Yeah.
After the Tuffles.
Yeah. Thank you. Now my theory makes sense again.
All welded together.
Rolled it and eventually became what are they called? The Machians?
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah. Because they were exposed. This actually dovetails perfectly with another one of the premises that we just came up with. So I think I'm starting to construct a Destructo Discourse fanfiction premise cinematic universe here.
Uh-huh.
As we speak, yeah. God, actually, do I want that? I don't know if I want that. If it's like the Dragon Ball Wiki,
then it'll be great.
Careful what you wish on the Dragon Balls.
All uses of guy. It lists all Hail Satan episodes and all uses of the name Guy Fieri.
Gohan Masenko's salt to death. Blows him up.
Can we take a moment to realize that Gohan just straight up actually killed someone?
Yeah. He killed three people. Blood. He disintegrated them.
Yeah, he kills two. He kills Salt and Mustard.
He fucking slaughters
Mustard
them.
Mustard is quick to follow. Is this Gohan's first kill? I don't remember.
I think it is. He fought some Frieza Force soldiers on Namek, but I don't think he actually killed them. I think he just knocked them out.
There were those two minions that blew up their capsule ship, and I think they did get killed. One by Krillin and one by Gohan.
Yeah.
They got kicked into the lake. So Gohan is killed before.
And I mean, he's tortured a T-Rex.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not his moral event horizon yet.
He has a combo going now, so he wants some more.
Yeah.
And he rushes over to where Spice and Vinegar are hanging out. But now Piccolo is up to bat, and Gohan can't bring himself to fight his green dad. Piccolo, however, has no qualms and begins to choke Gohan. I wouldn't call that a fight.
No.
No.
An unprecedented situation, Tyler, of the title of an episode of this show lying to us about something.
Unprecedented.
An outrage.
This made me think about the arc as a whole. And that is, you know, Gohan fucking up someone. Gohan actually having like cool, spiky, Super Saiyan-ish almost hair during some of these power-ups, which I admired. The guys in charge of this arc had a definite challenge ahead of them because they needed to make a compelling story that could also be effortlessly slotted in between two confirmed sagas with no continuity errors between them.
Yes.
That's hard to do. That is definitely a needle to thread.
Not even Toriyama does that, and he writes the whole thing. Any other last thoughts for 111?
I noted that Garlic Jr. is now master of the entire universe.
Frieza's dead.
True, yeah, and power vacuum.
Yeah, good point.
Is that going to do it for the episodes?
That's all I got.
I believe so.
Well, it's time to hail Satan then.
Ah, Satan.
This is going to get weird, huh?
So,
yeah, it's happening now.
If my math is correct, doesn't this episode release to the public the day after Christmas?
Oh, shit.
It would, yes.
So perhaps instead of Hail Satan, should we consider Hail Santa? Yeah,
that one's actually good. I'm mad about it.
Don't thank me. Thank the lovely people at the Destructo Discord.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
All right. I can't have an issue with any of them. They're great folks.
I missed that one. Mm-hmm.
What do you have in mind for Hail Santa?
Well, it takes place the day after Christmas, right? So that means we get two things. Number one, we get the Boxing Day, like what happened at the Satan household, how did their Christmas go down.
Which in this world, of course, is called Beaming Day.
Beaming Day. Happy Beaming Day.
Of course.
Ha hu me ha ka me.
Give us all a senzu bean. Ha
There we go. That's the Aaron I know and love.
the Grinch who stole Beam Day. He died.
Yeah, he was fucking exploded by Genki. His heart filled with 6 times of Genki that day. Until it popped.
The Grinch pouts in 100 times Earth gravity.
Well, that's why his smile twists that way, is because he's straining against the gravity to lift his cheek muscles. Is this occurring still in the 260 days time skip? Or is this the Christmas where everyone turns into evil zombies?
I like evil zombie Christmas.
That sounds pretty cool to me. It's like Christmas and Halloween all in one.
Right. Because I wanted us to come up with a way that Hercule and Videl avoid the mist.
And go on a zombie apocalypse adventure together.
Well, Hercule doesn't notice that anything happened, and Videl has to, like, Penny and Inspector Gadget her way to surviving.
Oh, no. Is this a Last of Us thing? Are they gonna Last of Us?
Yeah, except Hercule is oblivious.
Right.
I love this.
Hercule is an NPC what's the kind of quest called where you have to shepherd?
Escort quest. Escort mission.
An escort quest, yeah.
How do they avoid the mist?
Yeah,
how do we combine that with Christmas?
What hilariously contrived set of circumstances.
I mean, are they just at home?
Presumably.
Is it like a situation where they're like sealed into their house?
Is their compound airtight?
Yeah.
Are they hotboxing together?
Well, that does explain how Dr. Briefs writes this out. He just seals the Briefs compound, which can last for probably like a year or more, maybe more than that.
Generations.
Yeah.
Generations.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking Vault Tech.
Yeah.
Certainly his lifetime.
What we didn't know is that the Blackwater Mist appearing just happened to coincide with that year's purge. So they were already locked inside.
God damn it.
Citizens of Dragon World.
I don't know what would have caused this, but the image that I got for why Hercule and Videl would not have breathed in the gas was just that, like, they were having an argument about something, and Hercule was holding his breath as part of the argument, and Videl was returning suit, and they were just like in like a staring contest,
I'm
holding.
So
breath.
Here for this.
Was he doing the thing where he says, "I'm gonna hold my breath until I pass out"?
Yeah, that 100% sounds like a Hercule move to me.
You're being a child.
She says to her dad,
"Fine, I'll do it too."
And they're just, doing this while, like, meanwhile, Miss Pizza next to them breathes in the
Oh, no!
Maybe Senzu was hanging out with them.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
And then, Frog Ginyu? Ginyu Frog? The Purple Man.
Yeah.
What hops? And the...
You mean his new mount?
Since it just goes
that he rides into town,
the hopping purple man, and the Senzu, like, of course, you know, realized what was happening and put on a gas mask or something because there's this weird cloud rolling in. But the purple man breathed it in,
must be
wasn't
chemtrails.
Acting much weirder than normal.
All right, I have a new way that I want to frame this around.
Do it.
They weren't at home. They were at the dojo, because it was the dojo's holiday party, and Senzu was dressed up like Santa, and the hopping man was pulling his sleigh.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Okay, yes.
Perfect. Love it.
And they
it.
Were giving out presents to all of the kids at the, like, junior karate classes.
Were Lapis and Lazuli there?
Probably.
Good.
They sneak out to go smoke. Because they're still kicking those bad habits.
Bad teens. Yeah. The fat chicks, perhaps.
Do they avoid the mist because they were smoking?
Yeah, that's been established canonically now.
Mm-hmm.
That if you have enough of some fine. Other substance...
Oh, no, wait. They're futuristic. They went out to vape.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course. maybe she can, like, wait until some future Hail Satan, but I want Salt's sister, Pepper, to show up sometime.
To factor in.
Maybe she's, like, his little sister, and she's at the dojo trying to get strong like her big demon brother.
Well, maybe she's the ground team for Garlic Jr.'s troops.
Oh, maybe.
She's the one who has to go round up the humans.
Well, and the idea of extremely small slash infant children being assigned to perform important tasks is not precedented.
True.
So she can still be his little sister is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, we will table this for next time. We will continue this adventure next time.
Okay.
But for now, there's a bunch of people locked in at the Satan Dojo who don't breathe the mist in.
Yeah.
We'll just stop there.
We got a big Left 4 Dead team, basically.
Yeah. And it is Christmas time. Yeah.
It's like a game of Dead of Winter.
Oh. All right. Well, then, if Hail Satan is done, I think it's time for us to look to the stars. Not the Macchio star, a little to the left.
Fuck that star.
No, not a great star.
I hate that star.
That star's the worst.
Also, occasionally a planet. It's kind of up in the
air. Also the worst planet. People think Saturn's bad.
Just you wait.
Do they? Is that a thing?
It's like the mean planet. Not like mean, like a harsh taskmaster. I don't know. It's the dad planet.
I see.
Or like a mean dad.
The bad
like
anime dad planet.
Yeah, ooh. Bad anime dad planet.
So, what I think we need to cap us all off here is a 4-star reading. Which is where we turn to the horoscope section and take one of our characters and their actual birthdays and figure something out.
That's what we do.
Give them a little piece of advice, a little pearl of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
This case, the person, the subject of today's reading, does not necessarily have a canonical birthday, but we reverse engineered one based on their debut. Not in the manga, because this character, for instance, Marin, does not debut in the manga. She debuts in the anime, and she first shows up on September 18th, 1991. So that would make Marin a Virgo.
Really?
Alright, Marin, here is your reading. Also, fun fact, this is the love horoscope as well. Because there aren't a lot of couples in this show, so I'd never really get to flip over to this.
Oh, okay.
So. Oh.
And this is one of the most often used things about astrology, so...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all about finding love, luck, and joy. So, Marin, here's the deal. A little tension is set to come between you and your significant other. But, quite honestly, this is nothing you can't easily handle. All you have to do is ask yourself whether you're getting enough satisfaction out of the relationship, and be completely honest with yourself and your partner. At the end of the day, you may feel like you've grown a lot closer to each other. Or you might be abandoned on a tower with a cat.
Does it say that?
No.
It's a danger.
That was a bit of editorializing.
Put that in every horoscope. It could happen.
It could.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. Hey, J-Cavs.
Hey, what up?
How's Tumblr doing?
You know, not the best.
would you like folks to visit you on Tumblr or elsewhere?
I mean, okay. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. That platform is rapidly hemorrhaging users as a result of some of their changes in policy.
And jokes aside, I do feel fucking terrible for everyone who is, like, financially affected by that.
Yeah, it's a serious, like, actual thing that's affecting big scores of people. The thing is, though, is that even given that, I really wasn't using Tumblr that much anyway between you and me and the entire internet. So, I mean, you can find some of my old stuff on Tumblr, which is at jcavs, J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S, but honestly, you can, if you want to keep up to date with my nonsense and some of my new art, you can just use that same name and follow me on Twitter instead.
Dave, what are you up to?
I'm just fucking drowning in fanfiction prompts now. maybe you'll see some of those at some point soon, because these are too good to keep dragging my feet on. but I am working on something along those lines. Hopefully you will be able to see it soon at Scythe, P-S-Y-T-H-E, at Archive of Our Own.
Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, but if you happen to be in the Southwest Ohio area, around Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. And I perform with a group on Wednesday nights, but there's shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And Gordy, how about you?
You can find me on the Twitter at Gordon Murphy, D-E-V, and then you can find me and Tyler on our other podcast, which is called What the Folklore, and it comes out every Sunday and Tuesday.
If you would like to contact this show directly, there's a couple ways to do it. You can find us on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, D-I-S-C, and there's also a link to our fan Discord where you can come talk about the future of the show, the past of the show, this podcast itself. You can post art, or you could hop into the new game channel because Smash came out. Mm-hmm. And as our precious Prince of All Saiyans once said on this podcast, someone come fight this. And I would appreciate it if you could also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. And when you do, give us a 4-star rating, because that is for Gohan. That's the Gohan star.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which is
I want you
better
to give us the Gohan
than the Makio star.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even get a number.
No.
That's how dumb it is.
It's the dumb dumbest star for idiots.
Idiot demons.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and there's another sentence that I'm supposed to say. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth, we're there to buy the magic surprise. Get you through the night of time.